But go ahead and open up in your Bible to Psalm 37 this morning. And that was a curveball that I threw to the support team this morning. This really burned in my heart this morning to really kind of change the text of what we were going to do with this sermon. The essence of the sermon is staying the same, but the text is going to be different. But if you're a person who does not have to deal with jealousy at all, then you are blessed. Because many of us do have some jealousy issues, especially when we compare ourselves to other people. Life does not seem fair. See, jealousy causes us to be resentful towards those who have what we perceive that we're lacking and believe that we deserve. I mean, it's very difficult for us sometimes as human beings to see someone else with something that we believe is lacking in our life, and we just have this tendency to think we deserve that more than they do. We just do. I mean, some of us do. Some of you, you know, God bless you if you don't have to deal with that. You know, God bless you if you don't have to deal with anger issues or guilt and some of those things that we've covered already. But Proverbs 4:20, the writer says to his son, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, their medicine or their health to all your flesh. Guard your heart," verse 23 says. "Protect your heart, for out of your heart flows the issues of life." So, I mean, this series that has been done so well here is just so vital because the essence of our life is flowing out of what's happening in our heart. And if those heart issues are not dealt with, then basically we're putting a Band-Aid over the problem that never cures it. The heart is the issue, and so we must guard and protect our heart. And there's some certain enemies to our heart. Last week, Courtney did a fabulous job dealing with greed. Now, Chad and I have talked about this a little bit. I think that's the most universal of all those heart issues. I really think because, you know, by nature, we are selfish and self-serving. And we believe that we've earned or that our time is ours and all these things. But flowing all of those thoughts through the cross and what Jesus has done for us, then our life is not our own. It has been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're always then, you know, returning our life in exchange for Him. It's a little bit of a misconception, a misnomer, to say that you accept Jesus in your heart, because that's just almost just an emotional thing for people. No, we do. You know, it's with the heart we believe and with our mouth confession unto salvation is made. But we don't just give Jesus this tiny bit of our life. Our heart represents our entire being. It represents everything. And so I think sometimes people give their emotions to Jesus, their heart, but then they reserve a great deal of their life to direct as they wish and as they desire. And so this is one of those areas today, and I think the scripture that the Lord really burned in me today will help solidify. Maybe if you don't think you have jealousy, then, you know, that would be wonderful. But perhaps you do, and it does need to be dealt with today. So 1 Peter says it this way, and this is where I was going to go, and I'll just read it real quickly. Verse 1 says, "So put away from you all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander." So these are things that we can put away from us. But let's go ahead and open up then to Psalm 37. And that's where we're really going to stay most of the morning today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. that it shines light in our darkness. Lord, today we've come to just look into the Word of God as if it's a mirror, the New Testament would suggest to us. So in that mirror, we see things that are out of line, that are improper, that are misplaced, that aren't quite right in our life. And so we use the mirror of your Word, Father God, to straighten things up a bit so that we can please you in every way. And also, Father God, that we would enjoy really the life that you've designed for us. We truly believe that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And Lord, so we just believe and receive that now. But in James it says, some people look in the mirror and don't make any adjustments at all because they're forgetful hearers. And so we've determined today that we're going to look into the mirror of your Word, make the necessary adjustments, and be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Do something about what you're prompting us from your Word and by your Spirit today to do. We thank you for it now, for revelation that comes from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at this Psalm 37, and we're just going to go down through this together. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious. So we're going to use the word jealousy and envy synonymously today. I know there are some differences in the word, but we're not going to really try to split that up and distinguish. So if I use the word jealous or envy, we're going to use it as the same definition. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And NIV, believe, adds the word prosperity, abundance of peace and prosperity. You see, envy is this tendency that we have to evaluate our own well-being compared to other people. And then we perceive ourselves then as lacking, while really, if we're going to be honest about it, wishing this perceived rival to be deprived of their good fortune. It really does bother us. Now, I don't want shows of hands today, but some of us are overly fixated with another person. Like, we spend way too much time thinking about somebody else in a very derogatory way. We think about what they've done to us. We think about how unfair it is that it seems that they're blessed when they don't deserve to be blessed. We see ourselves as lacking. And we just get this obsession sometimes about other people, and in a very negative way. And we think they're evil. I mean, they're not following the Lord. They've done something to me. And it yet seems like they get away with it. Does it bother you that other people seem to get away with things and you always get caught, or you always have to pay, or you have to make it right? Like, why doesn't God deal with them the way he's dealing with me? Look, we have 4 children. I'm not going to throw down on any of them today. You're welcome. I think they're all here except Morgan's and Cameron again this morning. But he'll be here next Sunday, I'm sure. But I just remember in dealing with one of the children, any of them, you know, pick a name, and we're dealing with them and bringing some correction to their life. What often comes, if you have multiple children in your family and you start dealing with one of your children, what do they most often say? What about my brother? What about my sister? Right? That is a form of envy. Because in their minds, they are thinking, why are you letting them get away with all the things that are far worse than what I'm doing? And you're on my case right now. And I would always retort with, I'm speaking to you right now about your life. I'll speak up to your brother. I'll speak to your sister about their life, but I'm not going to speak to you about them or them about you. Come on. A lot of our prayer time has to do with wanting God to change or to fix or to make something right, dealing with another person, not ourselves. Have you ever been perceptive enough in your prayer time when you go to God and you start talking to about God about your spouse, or you start talking to God about a perceived enemy, you know, somebody who's done something to you, and the Lord will redirect you? Has that ever happened to you? Where you're trying to talk to him, and it's like you're being very serious about this. You think your life would be, you know, solve the difficulties, the pain, the lack in your life. Sorry for my voice. It would all be fixed if God would just fix them. Okay, it's taking me a little while to connect with you. That's a form of envy. See, we think of envy and jealousy. They have something that I want, but there's an envy in us when we're so obsessed about other people and what they're doing or not doing. And it's like this idea, I can't be happy unless God does something about them. And that's the essence of this psalm. God's exhorting David here, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but I think it's a psalm of David. It is. And he's wondering, he's got this call of God in his life, and he's still not yet really attained what God has for him. And it seems that others are still being blessed, and he's out here running for his life. And he really hasn't done anything wrong, right? Did he do anything to Saul? No. As a matter of fact, he was always a blessing to Saul, but somehow Saul saw him as an enemy and as a rival. And so this psalm comes out of that idea, and God is speaking through him in these words, not to fret about what's happening with other people. See, I've heard this in relationship to people's giving, for example. You know, because we have all of these promises from God. I mean, they're too numerous, really, to just mention them in a quick gathering. But there is an overall message from the Word of God that if we give to God, what happens? Then He gives back to us and He blesses our life. And while God's dealing with us about that issue, oftentimes, this envy thing will rise up in us and think, well, look, I know all kinds of wicked people that are rich. looks like they're being blessed and not following God at all. But don't we then have our eyes then on the wrong thing? Because we're saying, I can't be happy because somebody else is happy. I can't be blessed because somebody else is blessed. Or I have to compare my level against their level. There's two really bad things that happen when we compare ourselves with other people. Only bad things happen when you compare yourself to somebody else. Only, get it in your head, only bad things happen when you compare yourself to somebody else. What happens? Well, you look at somebody else, and we do this as human beings, we compare our areas of strength against other people's weaknesses and go, man, so glad I'm not like them. Isn't that the religious person's prayer that Jesus said, I want you to notice these two guys praying? Listen to this guy. He said, he's looking over at this sinner, this tax collector, and you know, this notorious person, and say, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like that guy. And let me give you all the wonderful qualities of my life. I tithe, I observe the law and all of this. And Jesus said, man, God didn't even hear his prayer because he's trying to compare his area of strength against this sinner and his weakness. And the sinner just said, I don't deserve anything, but would you please help me anyway? Come on. That's really who we are. That's really who we are before God. If somebody really can't do anything to help ourselves, we all desperately need God, whether we admit it or not. Or then we look at somebody else and we see their life they're taller than us. I can speak to that because I'm a short person. You know, they're better looking. They're more talented. It seems like they have a better life. Seems like things are easier for them. And we look and then we see ourselves as having all this lack. Yeah. And I will tell you, in this social media world, it magnifies the whole problem, doesn't it? Look, human beings have had trouble with, their eyes, you know, for a long time and what they're looking at. And then what they're lusting after. And people have had gambling addictions for a long time. But the internet has magnified all of these problems because you don't have to leave the house. You don't have to spend money. You can do it a lot easier without being caught now. And so some of these vices, like pornography and gambling, are far greater than they've ever been because of the magnifying effect of the internet and the, you know, just absolute ease of access. But it also has magnified envy and jealousy. Okay, again, don't want you to show your hand, but how many of you have embellished some experience in your life just a little beyond how great it really was because you wanted to impress people with your social media post? Because that's a form of jealousy because you're looking at your friends and it's looking like, man, they take the most wonderful vacations. You know, their family is like perfect. And their spouse, come on. Can I just be real with you today? If you've ever thought, I wish I was married to that person, not who I'm married to. That's a real dangerous, envious thing that I think Facebook and other social media has really delved into. It's why some of you aren't on there because you know marriages that have been destroyed because of that jealousy thing. If I wasn't married to this dud, I could have that, right? But it's not real. Any more than the scantily dressed women are real. Or that, you know, gambling is really going to solve your financial problem. Okay? I told you I'm just going to keep poking at this until maybe we find your sore spot a little bit. Because it's dangerous. We really are mad at God when we're dealing with these issues. We're saying to God, in essence, you could have given me a better life. You just didn't. You could have given me something better than what you gave me. So the real issue, I think, is that we're mad, really, with God. And this psalmist gives us the cure. Get your eyes off of what other people are doing. Get your eyes off of what they have. Actually, don't even worry about that. If there's a problem between them and God, who is the ultimate judge? I mean, if God needs to take care of something, He really doesn't need me to point it out continuously to make sure He'll do it. If God needs to deal with me, God deals with me. And if I won't deal with it, come on, I'm going to pay now or pay later. But I am going to pay. There is a judgment day, so to speak. Our actions have consequences. That's why our heart is so important, that we guard our heart, because it affects all of our life, because it affects what we say. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, what's coming out of your mouth? What are you talking about? Over and over again. That's what's really in there. And then it also affects my actions. How many of you think your words and actions have some results and have some consequences? So it's not really all God then, is it? It's not really all God, the results that we're getting in our life. Our words and actions have some consequences. We just wish they didn't. Sometimes. This is really important stuff. There's no more important series than the one we've been doing for a month, because it affects our whole life. So the psalmist said, trust God. Get your eyes off of other people and put your trust in God. Feed on His faithfulness, verse 3. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's why. Yes, we want to see you every week. Yes, it's a lot easier for us to do church the more seats are filled. I'm not kidding. It's a lot easier. The more people that are here, the easier it is for the people that are on the stage. I assure you that. But our primary motivation for wanting you to be very consistent in your worship really is not self-serving. It is for your benefit. Because how many of you can't wait for a month from today and you don't have to hear another political ad? The only thing political I'm going to say, could we just have a do-over? Could somebody just go, hey, no kidding, could we just start all over again and just go through this process? Okay. I knew I'd get some love on that one. All right. But what I'm saying is we have such an opportunity. We see all this advertisement that tells us what we don't have, and if we get it, we would be happy. Or this trip, if we got it. And then we see somebody took the trip. Tell me what's wrong with vacation. What? It ends. You have to come back to your real life. And it's like all the good that happened on the vacation is now almost immediately erased. Roger just got back from a vacation. That's why he amen so loud. All right. And so we need a place where we get a little, more than a little assist and helping us delight ourselves in the Lord. I mean, I like my personal prayer time in the morning or when it is. Actually, right now, I need personal prayer time all day long. I mean, just all day long. I mean, I need God to solve more things than what I can even put on my bullet list, to-do list every day. You know, it's kind of difficult sometimes to work up your own delight yourself in the Lord. like in your own time, right? I mean, even if you put on the radio, you put on your your favorite music, from Spotify or Pandora or whatever, it's still not the same. I mean, really, truly, how many of you would have been happy to have not heard a sermon today and just gone home on holy, holy, holy? Come on, don't raise your hand. But we all know we would have gone, man, church was good today, high five, and we would have gone out, 30 minutes, 40 minutes earlier. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow, right? Because there's something about worshiping together that allows us to delight ourselves in the Lord and remind ourselves that God is our source and not ourselves. And what other people are doing doesn't prevent me from being blessed. What other people have doesn't, because I mean, it's not like God can just only do something nice for one person, like he only has a limited supply. What he has done for somebody else, he can do for you. Oh, that needed a better amen. Still not going to get one. All right. Thank you. The trouble with envy, I will beg. The trouble with envy is that precious time and resources are wasted on injuring the perceived rival when effort should be focused on improving our own destiny. Why did Cain kill Abel? He was jealous. God accepted my brother and he didn't accept me. I'll fix it. We'll get rid of the problem. Did that get rid of his problem? It didn't. Esau probably would have killed Jacob, but Mama got him out of there. But they both lived in torment until he came back home, and Jacob, coming back home, just assumes his brother's going to meet him and kill him. But it took a long time. It took, years and years and years of their lives wasted. And God did deal with Esau, and he was able to welcome his brother home. But how much time was wasted and how much grief did they suffer in the meantime? Jesus told Peter in John 21 about the death that he would have, that he would be martyred. What did Peter say? Oh, Lord, I will die for you. I will gladly. No, he said, what about John? And Jesus said what all good parents say. Hey, I'm talking to you, Peter, not talking to John. What I do with John's between me and John. I'm talking to you. James 4, verse 1 says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not that your passions war within you? You desire, you do not have, so you murder, you covet. You're jealous, you can't obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. But Psalm 37 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Philippians tells us this, that we should not look only out for ourselves, not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Esteem others as better than yourself. Romans tells us to weep with those that weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. You know how you fix this envy in your life? When something good happens to somebody around you, man, applaud that, cheer that, be happy for them. If somebody's really going through a struggle, then make that like almost personal, like it's part of the family. And really get down with them, in their despair, not to despair with them, but to really get down in there with them and weep with them and mourn with them. Some of the Word of Faith movement was really awesome, and some of it was bad. Okay, some of it was bad because when my dad passed away over 12 years ago now, a good friend in ministry contacted me and left a message for me. Hallelujah, your dad has passed away and gone to heaven. And I thought, this is not a cause of rejoicing in my life today. I need somebody. And I know what he was trying to say. Okay? His intention was pure. He's trying to get me to, we don't mourn like those who have no hope. Okay? But we do mourn. And there's a time for mourning. And so when somebody's going through a great struggle, it's not the time for you to show them your vacation pictures. And they're telling you this gut-wrenching story about what is happening with their kids and drugs or, you know, a pregnancy. You know, or something difficult that's going on in your life, it's not a time for you to brag about the A honor roll student you have. We're the body of Christ. When one member suffers, we all suffer. And when one of us has something great going on, we should all cheer because we're part of the same body. We can help one another with this envy thing if we don't brag so much. We need to be considerate of one another. Esteem others as better than ourselves. Not everybody has everything that you have. And they're struggling. We need to be sensitive to one another. Considerate of one another. And then just go home and say, Lord, I am so blessed. I don't know why you blessed me so much. I am no more deserving of this than anybody else. But I am grateful. I am grateful. I don't think I could do justice to this. So I'm going to let Pastor Chad lead us through this confession this morning. These are his words. I've used them, but it really resonates with him. So we're going to make this confession together. If you need prayer today, you need to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. Man, don't leave this place without having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're having a baptism next Sunday. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's the greatest cause of rejoicing, right? You know what would even be greater is if you need to give your life to the Lord and you need to have your old life, your old self buried in baptism and you raised to a new life. It'd be great if we just added one or two more to that list. Wouldn't that be awesome? And that could be you. So come after the service and we'll pray with you. If you have any prayer needs today, I think the Lord dealt with a lot of things just during with worship. But if you need somebody to agree with you in prayer today, we're here to pray with you.
Will you stand with me? So every week when we've ended the service, we have ended by saying this together. So I'm going to read a line and then I just ask that you repeat it after me with all your heart as we do this. I will not give up, give in, give up, or give out. I will confess God's promises. I will have faith in God. I will move mountains because my heart is good, my faith is strong, and my enemy is a liar. I don't believe his lies anymore because I am a child of the living God. I'm receiving my inheritance right now. Every word, every promise that God has given, I receive. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind to be conformed to who God says I am. I'm advancing the kingdom in my life. I will not grow weary in the fight. For he who has done a good work in me. All right, let that sink in just a moment. And let's say it again. For he who has done a good work in me. We'll bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, give him a shout this morning as you just honor him. Amen.